You know, I finished my PhD at age 52. Can you believe that?
You look great for 52.
My son is 27. I was ordained in 1984 within the United Methodist Church system. Became an elder in 1987. I was the University of Maryland College Park University chaplain since 86 and 1994. I was at the graduate program studying at SMU and Perkins School of Theology in Dallas, Texas, 1980 to 1984. And then I moved up to Yale, 1984, beginning my graduate work at Yale Divinity School. Then I left from my program, joining that university chaplaincy at College Park, starting with my grassroots social justice movement. While I'm holding my clergy background, but I was deeply involved in the social grassroots, quote-unquote, movements. And I left from my PhD program only in 1994. When I left from my position at College Park, I resume my PhD at Temple, not at Yale, in Philadelphia, in the Department of Religion. But 1996, only 2 years later, as a part-time student, while I was still in the part of the grassroots movement, my wife got so sick with the breast cancer, so I had to abruptly stop my program at the January 1997, and she had the bilateral mastectomy and serious, and so I had to seek for a living while let her rest and recover. So I became, for the first time, the local pastorate, the full-time church pastor, one at the Baltimore suburb called Timonium United Methodist Church. It's an all-white congregation, about 1,000 members. In their 98 years old history then, I was the first ever the non-white pastor to them. It's a wonderful story. And then after 3 years, I left from that three-year the pastorate position to assume the secretary general of Korea Truth Commission, which was the equivalent body of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, I had to return back to the church ministrate in Washington, D.C. for multicultural congregation for 2 years as senior pastor until I got the World Culture Open, the secretary general based in out of the New York Manhattan downtown here. In that whole time period, I continued my PhD program as a part-time student, and then probably in that time period, I was able to earn that scholarship, which propelled my 2 year full-time the school, and finally at age 52 I was able to finish with this program, the scholarship program.
Now, you received the scholarship through Global Ministries, and I understand they fund about 250 people a year. This money, after you had stopped and started with your PhD and taking care of your wife, now the money enabled you to complete your studies and really pursue these justice issues you had been so concerned about. Tell me a little bit more about peacemaking and how you've seen it from an international perspective.
Yeah, one of the most distinctive international peace issues is now called six-party talks in and around Korean Peninsula, the denuclearization process of Korean Peninsula. To make that happen, the six nations, the United States, China, Russia, Japan, and so North and South Korea, have been involved in this, the ongoing process to make it happen. My work began the late 1970s and early 1980s in the United States to bring this peaceful resolution to Korean question, not only the denuclearization of issue and then also reunification issues. Initially with Korean question, then later on my struggle, the grassroots movement jumped into other issues such as the racism issue, the sexism issues, classism issues, and then peace and justice and the anti-war, anti-nuclear issues throughout my whole last 30 years. the my scholarship program earned, that I earned and which propelled and helped me to finally complete my program, bring me into the global field where I'm now in the East, in the Asia, to be part of the government and NGO process where I'm organizing, facilitating, bring people from all over the world to provide the future-oriented direction on these questions, peace and justice issues in general.
We all saw the wall come down, and Ireland, North and South, has reunited. What the heck's going on with Korea, and why can't we get the same kind of peace building?
Good question. You know, Irish reunification issue still in process. It's not an isolated only Irish people's issue. It is an international issue. It is a British issue. It's a European issue. Same as Irish issue, the Korean reunification, the denuclearization is not an isolated only to the left, to the Korean people. It is the international issues. Beginning with the Korean War, where U.S. and Russia, then Soviet Union involved, resulted more than 3.2 million, according to the encyclopedia, the dictionary. So it's a over half century long. I'm not going to talk about who was wrong, who was responsible in the past. I'm talking about now and for the future. What we see within that framework, new framework, meaning the six-party talks, tells it is the multilateral process, not any longer the unilateral process working. Mm-hmm. The Bush administration is well known now for that unilateral approach, so-called neocon policy or neocon approach to the Iraq or other issues around the world, which is not working any longer, period. What is working now is a multilateral, pluralistic, is mm-hmm. open to each other, the mutual respect. Mm-hmm. And so the six-party talks is producing now, finally, after more than the half century, that the peace process, which will bring the final ending of Korean War, which meaning the Korean War has not been officially ended. Mm-hmm. The U.S. and the North Korea and China only signed the armistice agreement, which means to briefly stopping a war. Now the Bush administration is talking about the signing peace treaty with North Korea, meaning officially ending the Korean War, which will ensure the peace, the permanent setting, the peace will be structuralized within the Korean Peninsula, which will also follow through the denuclearization process. Mm-hmm. So the issue I was involved in throughout my whole the career, mm-hmm. and as part of the United Methodist clergy person, when many say the social gospel or social justice, the prophetic ministry, has not been confined only within the church system, but also part of the whole global struggle, global process to bring peace to the world. That multilateral six-party talks is practically producing the peace and justice, peace and harmony to that Northeast Asian regional, the people, mm-hmm. specifically Korean people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, do you find as you go about this work that in general people are supportive and accepting, or does it take a little while for people to realize that pluralism is the answer and this multi-party treaty would be more effective than unilateral action?
Only 2005, October 2005, the UNESCO, within the part of the UN system, adopted the charter called Cultural Diversity Charter, signed by 146 nations. The four nations absented from the voting process. Only two nations vote against for this, the cultural diversity charter. You know which countries are?
I'm afraid to find out.
Surprisingly, or to some is well known, is the United States and Israel are the only two nations to oppose. But the world is is redirected to the new future, in which all cultures, all traditions, the religious, the differences and cultural differences and the racial, all that color difference doesn't matter. What matters is the humanity. We are all in the same human, the global village. The cultural diversity is the part of the new movement in this the 21st century. The multilateral approach is in the same spirit, that is respecting others and listening to in others and not imposing my will to others. The genuinely democratic process, the inviting everybody to participate in decision-making process. I believe the upbringing within that the United Methodist, the global ministry background, the prophetic ministry background, social justice gospel, I believe my role as a United Methodist clergy person and as a, one of the scholarship recipient and the ending my final, the long journey of the PhD program at age 52, but it's an ongoing, continuing process to be part of the peacemaking. And peacemaking is a lifelong, and it also goes to my son's generation, and even in their generation, this peacemaking means that it's a humanization process. That the society we live in, it's so much dehumanized, the environment. What we say the peacemaking means the humanizing process, where you and I, man and woman, black and white, yellow, whatever our colors are, we find the beauties in this diversity. So that I think it is the right time. The people see the opportune time is here, when and where we should find ways in which we need to work together. Not I rule, you be ruled, or I impose my rule and you follow. Not that dictatorial that way, but we respect each other. And I speak to your heart, you speak to my heart, where we can build a new future. The beauty is there.